You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Welcome to Dotto Tech. I'm Steve Dotto, and I'm glad you're joining us on this fine day. Art Factora, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm better than I was. Last week was an adventurous week for me.
You went to Ontario.
I was in Sudbury, the big nickel. Yeah, I was in Sudbury. And every time I go to Sudbury, it seems to be an adventure for me. I've been there fourth time that I've been there for speaking gigs. And each time, something happens. Something magical happens.
Magical.
And this time it wasn't so magical.
But Harry Potter magical?
Or? Not quite Harry Potter magical. Close, okay. Though. The very first time I went was I went to speak, and there was a conference. They had a big conference on. And I was speaking, and it was in the middle of it. I'm going to guess it was like November, but it might have been February or something. Winter.
Yes.
Flew into Sudbury, and it's northern Ontario. Mm-hmm. So, geography 101. And as I came in, a big snowstorm hit, and I gave my talk that night. And the next day, ironically enough, Dotto Tech favorite Todd Maffin was supposed to speak. Except Todd was snowed in Toronto, and I was snowed in Sudbury. I was supposed to fly out while Todd was flying in.
Oh.
And it looked for a goodly amount of time like he wasn't going to be able to get in. I wasn't going to be able to get out. So we were on the phone and on the internet. He was downloading his presentation to me, and I was going to give his talk in Sudbury because he couldn't get in, and I couldn't get out.
Do you think you would have been able to recreate?
I would have been better than him.
Todd,
I would
Maffin.
Have been way better, way better, way better. But didn't happen.
Oh.
He got in, fortunately, because I didn't really want to give his talk. You know, that's Todd's shtick. Todd does more detailed stuff. I do 30,000 foot stuff. Todd does like right down in the minutia of it all.
Oh.
So anyway, so it was good. But it was an adventure. The next time I went to Sudbury, it was in the spring, and they kept me in over the weekend. I chose to stay over the weekend.
Of course, why wouldn't you in the bustling metropolis of Sudbury?
No, I had some business to do in Toronto.
Okay.
But what happened was the people at the city of Sudbury were there. Great. They set me up for a fishing lodge. I went fishing, and I went fly fishing for bass and pike. And the guide at the time had never seen a fly fisherman. And he kept saying, "Are you sure you don't want to put these minnows on?" And I'm going, "No, I fly fish." And he goes, "But I have minnows here for you. Minnows catch fish." And so we had this little issue. But I caught fish. And then they took me on a quadding expedition with some guy from the federal government who was supposed to know the trails around Sudbury like the back of his hand. And so we went ATVing. And through the Canadian Shield, there are thousands of miles of wonderful, you know, snowmobile trails in the winter and ATV trails in the spring and summer.
And mosquito fall. Trails, too.
Mosquitoes weren't, well, you're moving pretty fast on the ATV. So the mosquitoes, when you stopped, yes, the mosquitoes could get you. Black flies. Black flies were pretty significant.
Eesh.
But, we got lost.
Oh.
We ended up somewhere in northern Quebec, I'm sure.
No GPS?
It was pre-GPS days. Pre-GPS days. And the guy got us so lost that we had to find gas. So that was, so I can still remember my friend, the person that, he's not my friend, Jody Cameron, who was with the city of Sudbury. He looked at me and he says, "We're lost. We have to find gas, because if we don't find gas, we're going to be walking and we'll still be lost." So that was...
How many people were you on this expedition?
Well, Jody, his wife, and the dude from the federal government, who still... He pops up like a bad penny every once in a while when I'm out doing talks.
So there was four of you?
There was four of us.
Did you guys draw straws on who they're going to eat first?
No, there was lots of food around you. There was berries, and there was... Yeah.
That's
so
not,
I don't think we would have starved to death.
Berries aren't sustenance.
But it was very anxiety-ridden for me to get back to catch my flight to Toronto. Because I had work the next morning. I had something important to be in Toronto for. So, so that was anxious. So this time here, it was far more benign. I was just sitting in the Sudbury airport when all of a sudden a text came through on my phone from Air Canada that my flight that I was waiting for to land. Wasn't going to be landing anytime soon for us because of a line of thunderstorms, and they had rebooked me. And so it was about 5 o'clock in the evening Sudbury time, and I'm looking and I'm doing the math, and I realized that I'll be getting into Vancouver at 4 a.m. Sudbury time. Ooh. And so it ended up being like an 11, 12-hour, 13-hour trip home from Sudbury. So it was a long... And as I looked, they'd rebooked. Of course, they moved me onto a different flight. So they'd moved me into a middle seat on the other flight, which I was not... I was less than amused. But that's... Air Canada's motto, we're not happy till you're not happy. So they lived up to all of their best and their fondest aspirations.
That's the life of a technology celebrity, though.
Big time celebrity. So, hey, we got a fantastic show lined up this afternoon. Coming up a little bit later, Sam Fiorella is going to be joining us. Sam is a expert on influence marketing. He knows what it is that you do online that makes you have influence within a social community.
Is that how you got a better clout score than me? Did you get some advice from Sam?
You know, honestly, I got a better clout score than you because I'm the host of the show and you're the producer.
It's probably Sudbury. Sudbury's probably bumping up
Sudbury
your numbers.
I don't think Sudbury gave me much of a blip.
Yeah, I'm not big in Sudbury.
If you'd gone to social media camp, you might have got a bump.
I had to work.
You know why I got a bump is I made friends with our guest last week, Mari Smith. And you get mentioned by somebody that's got that much influence on the internet, and it carries the day for you. And so she's probably responsible for like 3 points of my clout score. What are you sitting at? You're sitting at like 22 or 3.3?
No, I'm in the 50s.
Oh, you're the 50s. Well, I'm in the mid-60s.
So your advice for people who want to increase their online social media presence is to ride the coattails of people more popular than them?
We'll ask Sam.
Okay.
To do. We've got speaking of riding the coattails, we have a big blogging conference coming up. They've done it several years in a row now. Northern Voices is here, and Shane Burley is going to be joining us. Yeah, we had Shane on last year, and Shane's going to be on again this year. We're going to be chatting about Northern Voice, which comes up, I think it's next week. And, CRTC. They did something.
Yes, they did.
They did something. They smacked the cell phone carriers around, perhaps a little bit. Perhaps a lot. Jillian Shaw will fill us in on the CRTC coming down a little bit on our big three carriers. So we got a great show. Is this not something that even if you get home, you probably want to just stay in the car and listen, don't you?
Yeah, this is the kind of show that you hope that you hit traffic on a bridge or tunnel.
It'd be awesome. We'll be back with all of these guests in just a few seconds. Jillian Shaw of the Vancouver Sun joins me online now. Jillian, the CRTC this week. Did they finally grow some?
Are they getting teeth to the CRTC's rules? I don't know. The
teeth,
new wireless code of conduct, Steve?
Yes.
It does some good things for consumers. The biggest thing, I think, in their new code of conduct is they're insisting all carriers now must unlock cell phones if that's what the customer wants. And, of course, you know that, Steve, that means if you have an unlocked cell phone and you get tired of your carrier or you don't like their service, you can then leave and go to another carrier and take without having to buy a new phone. So that's a very big thing.
And do they have to unlock it? Do they have to unlock it at any time now in the contract?
Yes, and carriers were slow. We have to give TELUS kudos for that. They were first to come through with that, and they would unlock it at 90 days. And I think the CRTC has made it at 60 days.
Okay.
But TELUS would unlock, after you were 90 days into a contract, they'll unlock your phone for $35, which means you can then buy a phone. You're locked into a contract, but at least when the contract is over, your phone you could use at other places. And a really big thing for this, where it would save a lot of money, Steve, is if you're a traveler. And now you can take your phone, you take your unlocked phone, and say you fly into London, buy a SIM card, and you're paying local rates instead of the among us roaming rates
that they've been forced.
We get here.
Canadian mobility users have been amongst the most hard done by in the world, if not the most hard done by. Our rates and our services provided by the big three. Is there any nation that has worse mobility, a worse deal with the mobility carriers than Canadians have had?
Well, you know, that's something the carriers will argue that point. So it is debatable
we're in the conversation.
Fees come in. But certainly, if you look right now, if you try to buy an iPhone 5 in the U.S., Steve, and at a subsidized price, you'll pay just $20 more on a two-year contract than you would pay for the same phone in Canada on a 3-year contract. So the fact is, and what our carriers will tell you, or some of them say, Rogers, I did a story about a fellow, Matt Bowie, who had to pay out his contract with Fido.
Mm-hmm.
He had to pay $25 a month for the so-called subsidy on his phone. But you may have noticed, if you ever get to the end of your contract, and presumably your subsidy is paid off, Steve, your cell phone bill doesn't go down.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody then comes and says, here's $25 a month because, Steve, congratulations, you've paid off your phone.
No, they don't do that.
We're just accepting this as Canadian consumers.
Oh.
And I think we're kind of getting what, you know, if we don't argue back, we're getting what the cell phone companies will give us.
You know, and I think to a certain extent, the mobility companies are getting what they deserve as well. I mean, I know that I've come to the end of contracts with phones, tried to get them unlocked at the end of a 3-year contract, and then had them charge me for it, or have them refuse and had to go through the back door to get them unlocked so that they could be used for other purposes.
Exactly.
And that to me has just been usury as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Rogers, I had a Rogers phone.
Yeah.
They wouldn't unlock it until the end of 3 years, by which time the phone is almost on its last legs anyway. And then they charged, that insult to injury, they charged $50.
Yeah, I had a daughter going to Africa, and I wanted to give her one of my phones. And I had one that was locked to Rogers, and I had the same thing. It wasn't even a phone that was in use anymore. I had another phone that I wanted to use, and they were charging me to unlock it so that Missy could take it to Africa with her. And at that point there, I was just shaking my head at them gouging me at every turn customer path.
Exactly. I have a direct comparison. I'm paying for my around $100 a month for my cell phone in Canada, and for the same, my daughter is in school in Great Britain right now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm paying for her cell phone. She has more than I have. She has unlimited everything, unlimited data, unlimited text, unlimited talk, unlimited long distance, and I'm paying about the equivalent of $40 a month.
It just makes you shake your head. Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, communications is what drives business. And it is anti-business charging us this much to communicate, because at the end of the day, if we are out there talking, if you don't think twice about picking up the phone, if you're a small business person and you don't think twice about picking up the phone and making that call to Toronto, making that call to Montreal, making that call to Paris, if you don't mm-hmm. think twice about it because it's a reasonable cost, business gets done. I wonder how often a potential beneficial deal in Canada doesn't happen because some entrepreneur said, you know what, I don't really want to pick up that $5 for that phone call.
Well, communications and the whole, our online data and our mobile data, these are all really important in a growing economy, Steve. So certainly the better deals that we can get and the better deals businesses can get, I think the better for our economy.
So the beginning is CRTC has told them that they have to unlock our phone should we request, and we can get out of a cell phone contract without penalty now after 2 years.
After 2 years, which I think means pretty much, Steve, that we're not going to see 3-year contracts. We're going to see 2-year contracts now.
And then they'll try and hose us by ramping up the prices of those 2-year contracts. But we'll
see. Exactly.
Competition.
Exactly.
We need competition. Jillian. Thank you. If you want Jillian's take on it, she has a great blog on it in her business technology section at the Vancouver Sun, and Jillian will be writing much about the CRTC as news breaks. Is that the right term, Jillian?
Yeah. I think so. Well, thanks, Steve. Good chatting.
Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Bye.
That's Jillian Shaw.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
One of the real profound impacts that social media is having is something called influence marketing, where people now have the ability to actually influence marketplaces just by their opinion, far in excess of what we were able to do in the past, largely because of our ability to post on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn. One of the real experts in this area is my new friend, Sam Fiorella. Sam is in New York currently, but he hails from Toronto. How are you doing, Sam?
Good day. I'm doing quite well. Thank you.
Good stuff. Now, Sam was one of the keynote speakers at Social Media Camp, and I was absolutely compelled by his talk because Sam takes a look at what's happening in the world of influence and how social media is influencing, how our opinion is influencing brands and how brands are influencing us. And he has taken that on as a specialty. And oh my goodness, what an interesting space you live in, Sam.
It's been quite a roller coaster ride the last couple of years with all of the changes in this space.
And I mean, most of us now, I guess most people are going to have, maybe not most, but a lot of our audience will have heard of something called clout, which is, I know it's not your favorite thing, but it does introduce the concept of influence quite well. Why don't you explain to our listeners what clout is?
Definitely. Well, clout, many social scoring platforms. In a nutshell, what these tools try and do is identify who within the social media space, so across Twitter, Facebook, you know, LinkedIn, and blogs, will try and identify who carries the most influence over their audience. What they do is take a look at how large your following is, so how many friends do you have on Facebook, followers do you have on Twitter, and what types of conversations you start, the nature of those conversations, and how many responses you get. Further, they'll take a look at how popular or how many followers your followers have. And what they attempt to do is measure the reach that your conversations will have across a large audience. And in doing so, they'll give scores typically from one. Others like CRED have multiple scores for different types of activity, you know, reach and resonance and things like that. And the higher your score, the more influential you're said to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has really caused an uproar in the marketing community because it's, you know, created an entirely new industry for people who want to be influencers. Because influencers are typically rewarded with perks of some sort.
They're being catered to, yeah.
And things like that. And marketers are trying to appeal to these people in hopes that they'll talk about their product or brand.
So this is really a natural outgrowth of, when did this all start? In the 20s, when people would try and get movie stars to go to their restaurants. And since then, I mean, we've had this, and it probably goes back well beyond that. I'm sure that in Rome there was some sandal maker that wanted all the gladiators to wear their sandals. But the bottom line is that it's now reached a much more democratic kind of area where the average person who builds a following in social media can become a star and can have some influence.
Well, and that's true. It's a highly gamed environment.
Yeah.
Because it's quite easy for you to build an online community just by, you know, there's various software tools that allow you to gain a larger following. And if you're willing to take the time and spend the time people, identify, you know, those who already have a large audience, become their friends, reach out to them, communicate with them, and you could ride their coattails to being influential yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of people do, is they start following or they start trying to have dialogue with influential people. So the bottom line is, the gamification of this, though, is impacting the real value of this type of credibility scoring system.
Well, that's just the reasons I wrote this book is because for years, I've, as many people that follow me know, I've been highly critical of these scoring platforms. And the reason is that they are gamed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody who has the ability to get on Twitter and connect with a lot of people, you know how to play the game, know the rules, they can become influential. But really, it's not influence. What they're becoming are social celebrities. They're becoming people who can engage a large and spread a message potentially quite far. You have to give them credit for that. And social scoring platforms are getting better at identifying someone that can spread that message. But for brands, for businesses, it doesn't give us an indication of, do these people actually drive sales?
Mm.
And that's really where, I guess, I drew the line in the sand and decided to write this book with my co-author, Danny Brown, because we wanted to say, marketing or influence, by definition, is one person's ability to change the attitudes, behaviors, or actions of another person. Today's influence scoring platforms really just attempt to measure amplification.
Mm.
We wanted to go one step further and identify who sways purchase decisions, and then provide a methodology for software companies and marketers to, you know,
Now, isn't there a couple of stories of people who have created totally fictitious characters who have generated incredible clout or high scores in these areas?
Oh, yeah, there's many of those stories around. You know, and there are people who don't even know they have a clout score. And that's one of my challenges with social scoring platforms is that they're not opt-in.
Mm.
They're creating, as long as you have a social profile, mm-hmm. like a Twitter account, you have a clout. Unless you purposefully go in and opt out. And that is making a statement these days of who you are.
And was it you that had the job interview that started this whole process?
It was me, yeah. Quite famously, as it's turning out, about 2.5 years ago, I applied for a marketing job
at a
marketing agency.
And you know your stuff. You obviously know your stuff. This is your game.
Well, this is my game. I've been at it for 20 years. I've worked with the biggest brands in the world internationally.
Okay.
I know what I'm doing.
So you go into the interview.
I actually was refused a second job interview because my clout score at the time was too low.
Well, I laugh now, but it's probably the best refusal you ever had when you stop and think about it, but you probably weren't too pleased with it at that particular moment.
No, I was irate. I basically got to know what this was all about, and I played the game, and I brought my score up to quite a high number. I realized that it was fake, that it really didn't do anything for me as an individual outside of earning, you know, some trinkets and trash. Mm-hmm. And the time invested just wasn't worth it. So I opted out, started my own agency, and now wrote a book on the subject.
So the book is Influence Marketing. And I got to tell you, Sam, I think you made one big strategic mistake. You embraced the light side. You should have embraced the dark side. You should have written a book on how to raise your clout score artificially, and you would have had a bestseller by a massive landslide, don't you think?
Well, yes, you're probably 100% right, and that's a good omen for somebody else who's currently writing that book.
Because everybody wants to read. Because Art and I have had this ongoing contest over who has a higher clout score. He's just looking right now, and I just saw him. What happened, Art?
I haven't checked in a while, Steve. It's not a competition for me.
It's not a competition for me either, Art, but who's ahead?
I think you are now.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Sam. And Sam opted out of clout. He has a zero score. So, and we really should do the same thing. But do you think it's that if people are using it to measure whether or not they're engaging in proper activities, that there's still the negative aspects of it? I guess what I'm asking is your issue with these measurement systems from the brand perspective as opposed to from the individual's perspective?
It actually started off as a personal issue.
Yes,
for the reasons that we just talked about.
A very fair reason, yes.
But then my clients started asking me, well, you know, can we use clout? I want to identify influencers. I want to ride, you know, the social channels to get my message out there. And quite frankly, I tried to use scores and the identification of influencers by scores. And as book, we failed miserably at actually driving purchases and impact on the bottom line of our businesses that we were helping. And that's where I started having problems with this as a marketer and for the brands that we represent, because it just didn't, the money we put into it and the effort we put into it was not returning the, you know, famous social media ROI that everybody's looking for.
So, two questions for you. The first question is, as an individual who's trying to establish themselves in a marketplace, what should they be doing to build their social equity and growing their influence if they do want to grow their brand, grow their profile within their given market?
Well, if you're looking to be an influencer in something or just grow your profile, even if it's not to be an influencer, my recommendation is to be laser-focused or hyper-focused on one topic, build an ecosystem across multiple platforms on that topic. There's just too many people out there, too much noise. The only way you're really going to differentiate yourself is to be laser focused on one thing.
Okay. So that is good advice. Now, what about from a brand perspective? What about if you are looking at advertising and trying to reach influencers? Is social media a place that we can that they can even play at this point? Do they have? Is there going to be a chance for them to get accurate data to determine who is influencers and who isn't? Or is it just too much of a quagmire right now?
No, I believe that there is the that you can do it. We've been able to do it for the brands that we represent successfully under this new methodology. The key for brands is to not focus on the influencers and who amplifies the message the furthest, and identify how your customers make decisions. Frankly, we go back to marketing 101. Where are your customers in the purchase lifecycle? How do they make decisions? What are the situational factors that they're encountering when making decisions? You know, geography, economics, religion, politics. And then find out who they're talking to at those stages of the lifecycle. When you focus on how customers make decisions, you can start to analyze using software tools like and social monitoring tools. You can start to find out who are they talking to and what's the relationship. Are they talking to peers? Are they talking to coworkers? Are they talking to family members? Those are the people that we've identified that yield the greatest influence in swaying purchase decisions. So it's this focus on that group, not the broad amplifiers, that will help a brand.
Do you hold out hope that there will be a scoring system which does provide a degree of accuracy?
No, I don't believe that public scoring systems will ever provide that for many reasons. The most, prevalent one would probably be because they are too easily gamed. The data is inherently flawed, because people will play the game for ego, to get the swag. There's a great set of tools coming out now in software like Opinions and OneCube here in New York and Bamboo in Southern California, Tracker in San Francisco. They're all coming out with influence platforms, but without a public scoring interface.
Okay.
And I think that's the future.
Okay, so we wouldn't actually even, so the average person won't even know what their score is. It'll be like your credit score. You'll have to apply to find out exactly what it is.
Well, exactly, except that in these cases, you can't even apply to find out what, because your score is completely variable based on the parameters that the marketers give these software companies.
Got it. So your book, Influence Marketing, is just shipping now, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or on your website, which I will provide a link to. Who is it for? Who should be reading the book?
The book was originally targeted at marketers and PR professionals, but it's really evolved over the course of the year to becoming that we a business book that any executive, be they CEO, CFO, anybody running a mid- to large-sized business should really take a look at this book and understand how to better market to their clients.
Good stuff. Sam Fiorella is my guest. His website is senseimarketing.com, and we'll have links to it and to his book site. Sam, thank you so much for spending this time with us. We're going to do this again sometime soon.
Always great talking to you, Steve. Thanks.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe
you. Do you have a comment or a question for Dottotech?
Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Vancouver is the host of an annual blogging conference called Northern Voice, and one of the originators and one of the powers behind it is Shane Burley. Shane joins me now. How are you doing, Shane?
I just subscribed to your Dottotech YouTube channel.
Awesome.
So you should get the little notification.
Yeah, well, I don't get a notification, but I will notice it. I will notice a bump by one in the number of subscribers. I appreciate that.
This Gmail tab thing is amazing.
Oh, you're playing with a Gmail?
Trying it out.
Well, you've got an Android phone, so you get the Gmail tabs in it. I just posted a video for yesterday. I posted a video on email. Gmail has released a new interface, so that's what Shane and I are talking about. That's not what we're supposed to be talking about. We're supposed to be talking about Northern Voice.
Yes, Northern Voice.
2013, and oh, look at this. I've got 2012 up here.
Yeah, I heard you rhyme off some of the speakers, and I was like, that's last year. But
no, I haven't mentioned any of the speakers yet. I was looking at So tell us about blogging conference Northern Voice. Tell me about it.
Well, the blogging conference Northern Voice has been around. This is our ninth year, and I have been on the organizing committee forever, and I've been helping out since it began. It is about blogging in any way, shape, or form. So vlogging to audio to text to photographs, all kinds of stuff.
So anybody who likes to get their stuff up there online, now June 14th and 15th is the event, and it's at the H.R. McMillan Space Center in the museum in Vancouver. So you guys have a pretty funky space for it. But it's a smaller attendance because there's only a limited number of tickets available this year.
Yeah, we only have about 50 left because we're wanting to keep it smaller than we have been in the past because we found that as it grew, because it is a personal blogging comments, because it is about the individuals and about sort of the creative process, it's not, you know, we don't want 2,000 people in an event because it just, you lose that personal touch. So you don't get to like talk to people and as much as you would if there was only, you know, 300 or 400, that kind of thing.
Okay. So it all starts with a tweet up on Thursday night. So on the Thursday night.
Yep.
So it's really Friday and Saturday, 2-day conference. So so tell me about the highlights. Is there a theme?
Well, the theme sort of comes out of the speakers that we get and we choose. And to me this year, at least for me personally, it's really come back to telling a story again about how when you are blogging and you're sharing information with people, it's not necessarily, well, I've taken 5 photographs and here they are. Mm-hmm. I kind of like, well, what's the story behind the photographs? What are they doing that, or what is it about the photograph? Why did you take it? And that kind of stuff. And there's a whole series of talks in here ranging from how to do that kind of stuff yourself without having to, you know, get a $60,000 camera to actually the keynotes. Bob and Mark are coming from back east in Ottawa, and they are people that ran an audio podcast conference for 7 years that just retired last year. And they're kicking it off, they are very much focused on storytelling.
Longest title I've ever seen in a keynote.
Yeah, I know. The social nuclear dynamics and creativity, how we got a whole bunch of people to do stuff for over 7 years and walked away with $300 in their pockets.
So they were podcasters.
Yeah, they started. Yeah, exactly. Well, I've been to that particular conference call, which was originally called Podcasters Across Borders. And it was very, very cool and very focused on creativity and whatever your art form is, how do you share that out into the digital universe?
So most of your speakers basically just submit to speak. So they put forward and they apply. So it's very crowdsourced as far as the content goes.
Exactly. We put the call usually about 3 months before. Maybe we went a bit early this year because we really wanted to catch. Since last year, we moved to June, and we're downtown from UBC. Anyway, we put out the call, and then when all the submissions come in, we hold on to them. We all peruse them ourselves. We kind of add our little marks about, you know, I think this one's great, or this is why this one I don't think fits. And then we get together as a group and actually select what will actually hit the schedule.
So it's you have keynotes, and then you have a series of tracks. It doesn't look like the tracks are following any particular theme, so you might wander back and forth from room to room as you go along.
And that is very much on purpose, because we try to find a theme for each of the hours. Like there's some sort of theme between the three that are going on. But we've actually this year changed it a little bit because we brought back Blog Camp, which was last seen 3 years ago, and where we're doing a lot of sort of the one-on-one stuff, because that was the major comment from last year, was that the talks were great, but there was no one-on-one track for a lot of the people who were starting.
Okay, so you've got, so I've just taken a look through the first day, which is the Friday schedule, and after the longest titled keynote in the history of long titled keynotes. Mike Vardy is going to be talking about life-changing blogging. Mike, of course, a regular on this show. You have do-it-yourself blogging and civility and citizenship, talking about community issues online, which could be a really interesting
topic.
Yeah.
Because I think that there's a lot about community online things that are going on right now that people don't know what to deal with. Every time I talk about civility online, I always talk about things like YouTube comments and how Google's still struggling with what to do with those, because the comments really add no value to a lot of them.
Yes, and well, in the challenge is Google will never want to take comments out of these, because comments indicates relevance as far as Google is concerned. And if people are talking about something, it indicates relevance. So from their search engine optimization or their search engine perspective, if people are talking about it, it doesn't matter whether they're saying something good or something bad, it becomes relevant. Because relevance is not about agreement. Relevance is about conversation.
And the fight against the first comment, which is always my favorite, where people just go first, and that's it. They add nothing to the conversation or commentary.
Oh, I haven't even thought about that.
Oh, yeah. That's the struggle, is trying to find the relevance in how do we stop people from communicating in that way where they're not really communicating, they're just doing something for their own self-gratification.
Why do we want to stop them? Does it hurt anybody?
Look at all the bullying that's going on. With
Yes, but saying Facebook first is hardly classified.
I'm bringing that up as a mild example.
Bullying. Yes.
The other examples are on the other opposite end of the scale.
Well, where people are criticizing. And I've got an awful lot of videos online, and I've got a range. Now, my stuff is pretty benign from that perspective, but I still have lots of people that post fairly offensive things on my post.
Exactly.
And I usually get a bit of a kick out of it. I kind of laugh. I typically email them and offer them an autographed picture. Sometimes it's not always the best strategy.
Bikini number, it's really great.
Yes. And sometimes, sometimes they criticize and it's reasonable. It's usually not, though. So now, then you guys break for lunch. I'm just taking a kind of look through the agenda. And when you talk about Blog Camp being introduced, is this going to be talking about... Are we talking technical or content as far as a beginner's guide to blogging?
Well, this year it's talking about a lot about the process, about whether or not blogging is a dead art form, which it's very much not, because there's just so many different ways to express yourself. Like this, for example, what we're doing here is audio. If we set up 5 cameras, it could be also a video thing. And we could be talking into, some sort of machine that transfers our voices to text.
Is it almost every communication online a form of a blog?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, that's really what it is.
Twitter is microblogging. Mm-hmm. Facebook status updates are blogging to a certain extent. People write, and then, of course, people have their websites, their WordPress pages, their blog, their the different photo sharing apps. That's all a form of blogging.
Yeah, well, in BlogCamp as well, we've got things like what blog posts should have. I'm doing one called Blogging with the Devil, which should be very interesting. And how I turned blogs into businesses, things like that. The very last section of Blog Camp is we're calling it CMS Confessions. Why do you use the blogging tool that you use? And that's sort of where they're going to dive into the sort of technical stuff. Yeah.
Because I've heard, I don't know if there is a shortage, but there does seem to be, we seem to have swung away from talking about the tools an awful lot.
Yeah.
And which is fair. I mean, talking about the content, but there's still, the tools still get in the way of a lot of people starting, and a lot of people doing.
That's actually the opening talk of Blog Camp is Kemp Edmonds from Hootsuite and whatnot is coming in to say, let's stop using the word blog. Blog stops people from doing it because they don't understand what's beyond that, which is choose an art form that you're really good at or really passionate about, and then use that for your blog.
Yeah, yeah, and people do share in it just about anyway, and certainly Hootsuite is with their plugins, they're adding extra functionality that allows people to use almost any of the. Again, I guess it'll be a big stop sign in front of the word CMS too, the content management system. But at the end of the day, you do need some technology. To manage, to archive, to allow people to search.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that the software has really reached a point where all the software packages do exactly the same job. They may do it in slightly different ways. The button's called something else. But ultimately, there's really no features on CMS software anymore that makes the difference.
Now, at the end of the first day, I see a couple of interesting workshops, one with you and one with our good friend John Beeler, where you're having walkabouts. You're getting out of the planetarium area. What are those all about?
Well, essentially, because of the location that we have this year, the H.R. McMillan Space Center and the Museum of Vancouver, it's quite cool because you have these inside rooms. There's a couple of rooms with glass walls. Then you've got the rooms in the 1967 part of the building that are very dark and very closed.
Yeah, they definitely need of updating.
Exactly. Yeah, and that was one of their major things about telling us when we came there. Like, we're in the middle of doing some renovations, so there may be issues here, and we're like, okay, that's fine. We can deal. But going outside, and this is the thing that normally when this event happens, it used to be in February until 2010. When we got booted from that location and we started looking downtown and all kinds of places like that. So This particular location, we get to go outside. It's along the ocean. It's going to be right beside Bard when the conference is on. So it's going to give us a lot more that we can do. Oh. And I'm just going to knock on some wood here that it doesn't rain.
Okay, and I'm looking at the second day, and things pick up on the Saturday. Saturday looks almost busier than the Friday.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of stuff going on. Like we've got these are where a lot of the technical things have landed. Like Twitter's this is the one that I keep coming back to, is that Twitter is a note-taking tool. I would never have thought you could use Twitter to do that.
Yeah, and I'm who's totally doing that interested. One? I noticed that talk. Who's doing that?
Well, his name is Brad. And,
oh, Brad. Brad.
I've talked Ovenall to him very Carter. Briefly. And but he is, his brain is just like amazing, because he has all these great ideas about how to take these tools that we have a high level of accessibility to, so like Twitter, and using it for something that you may not instantly go, oh yeah, that's the greatest idea ever.
As a note-taking tool, but it's a public conversation.
Well, that's the, so you're gonna have to go to the talk to actually. Well, this is the thing, right? This is that. I actually don't know. I'm leaving it a secret because I'm going to try and get it.
The jury's out on that one. Jury's out on that one. And Beeler is also, you've got him twice. You got him doing photos in the first, and then how blogging changed my life.
Yeah, he's going to be talking, I think, a lot about, if you've been on his blog anytime recently, there's a lot of 3D printing and stuff like that. So there's all kinds of cool things that that he's doing that is outside of what I would consider traditional blogging.
John does get into some very, very cool things. And I love your closing keynote should be great. Dave Olson from Hootsuite, who's been a guest on this show, he's another storyteller.
Yeah, and that's why we stuck him at the very end, because last year we found that we cut the keynote for that year, and people just kind of drifted away. And
you wanted to put a punctuation, exactly. An exclamation point on the back end of the entire conference.
Exactly.
Well, that's cool. Well, it's going to be a great conference. How do people register?
Oh, you can register by going to the site, by going to the Buy Tickets button, or you can go to the Eventbrite location. Which
NorthernVoice.ca is the site.
At the very top.
And NorthernVoice2013.eventbrite.com will take you directly into the registration page. And I'm just taking a look. So your early bird...
The early bird has gone
tickets
by.
Tickets have gone by. So tickets are like $130 for both days. Yeah, $75 a day if you want to buy just one day or the other, and it looks like you've got it looks like it's going to be a good fine event. I'm hoping to drop by for part of it.
Well, you totally should come by.
I should totally come by. I think actually I'm off to Calgary in the middle of it, but I'm going to try and drop by at least for the party. Am I welcome to the party?
No, oh, come on.
What about Art? Art makes a lot of fun of you guys.
Really? I've got a blog.
Okay, well, come to the party and you can defend your blog, because I'll let them know.
Oh.
Apparently you've been saying bad things about us. Yeah, that's what
I haven't really been saying much for a little while. That's probably the problem.
When was the last time you blogged?
I haven't updated it since last year.
Since last year, as he drifts off. So I'm pretty sure that Shane would tell us one of the first rules of blogging is to blog more than once a year if you want to be relevant in the conversation. But but maybe this will inspire you. Northern Voice Conference, I think it's going to be it's one of the really nice feel good events, and it's all about storytelling, all about blogging. NorthernVoice.ca is the site. It is June 14th and 15th. Did I get those days right? 14th, 15th. Thursday. It's Friday and Saturday with a party the night before at the Tap and Barrel in Vancouver,
which is a pretty cool place. I went there for the first time a couple months ago.
Has it got room for lots of people?
Oh yes.
Good. Well, we'll try and drop down there on Thursday night. Shane, good luck with the conference.
Thanks so much for having us.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
As much as we like to think that they are still, or they are not an issue anymore, viruses still raise their skanky little heads from time to time and infect our computers. Julian Saunders joins me now. Julian, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. Julian, of course, computer manager at London Drugs. Now, the world has changed. If you get infected by a virus, you don't necessarily have the same unbelievable, difficult process of downloading and fixing and finding patches and all that sort of stuff. There are some better solutions, which you're filling me in on right now, right?
You got it. Yeah, there's always been, you know, those nerdy of the bunch that have been able to make little boot disks. There's been a lot of options available from antivirus companies themselves where you can basically burn a CD and then run it, but it's a lot of steps involved. It requires a clean computer.
Yeah.
Just recently, we started carrying something called a Fix Me Stick.
Okay.
And this is a USB flash drive shape, and basically you plug it into your computer, and if it's infected to the point even where Windows won't load or let you click on anything, it will help you disable that infection, and it's outside of Windows, so it doesn't matter how infected you are, it can help you clean it. It's got a lot of power.
So does it connect to the internet as well? Does it? So it actually boots your computer from the USB stick?
That's right, yeah. It's a portable operating system, so hiding on there is a little magic version of Ubuntu, basically, and
okay.
They've partnered with a lot of big antivirus companies like Kaspersky, Sophos, and Viper that are very well known to be some of the most aggressive security programs out there to remove them. So you run, you plug it in, you run the Fix Me Stick environment, and it loads a network driver, connects to the internet, and updates itself to the latest virus definitions.
Now we should take a step back just before you go on, because you mentioned Ubuntu there, which is a Linux operating system. So it's a very simple, clean, small operating system which can basically boot most any computer, be it Mac or PC, desktop, notebook, netbook. It can boot them, and it won't give you all the functionality of your computer, but it'll allow you to access your hard drive, your devices, your screen, your keyboard, your mouse.
Right, yeah.
And the internet, I think, which is important here, right?
You got it, yeah. And the way that Fix Me Stick's kind of been designed is for ease of use. So you don't get the desktop. You don't have to worry about, you know, running the Fix Me Stick and then which program do I click.
Mm-hmm.
It automatically takes you to a cleaning mode where it updates and then scans the all of the hard drives attached to the computer for infections.
Okay. So I'm looking at the specs on the Fix Me Stick, and it costs between $60 and $300, depending. Now, don't get sticker shock on that. The $300 one looks like it's designed for really large installation environments where you've got an unlimited number of PCs that you might need to clean on an ongoing basis. But it's still SaaS. It's still a software as a service model because you just get basically a one-year license with it, right?
That's correct, yeah. The one that we have in regular stock at all London Drugs is for three computers for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So it will. It's good to keep on hand after an infection. I know lately there's been a round of a virus that says the RCMP has seized your computer. You've been pirating stuff, and you owe us money. Click here, give us your credit card, and we'll go away. And it's very hard to remove that one, even if you're more technical and you know how to go in and turn off applications. The Fix Me Stick ripped that virus out of my customer's computer, lickety-split. It took about 15 minutes, and it was clean. So
interesting.
It's very good at taking all of the ransomware and the hijackware, everything that kind of seizes your computer up. It's very good at immunizing those. You also don't have the inconvenience of coming into the store with your computer and dropping it off for a couple of days. So the turnaround on cleaning your own computer can be a payment in itself.
Now, you mentioned a couple of terms there which are kind of new terms. One of them is ransomware, and that's where you do get because in the past, viruses were pretty much just causing trouble and mayhem. They were trying to possibly steal information, but for the most part, they were just trying to break things. Now they're trying to make money off it, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really disappointing that they've gone beyond computer graffiti. But it's really disheartening to turn your computer on one day and then say, some of them look like they're from very legitimate places, like the FBI or the RCMP. So you can get them from anywhere. You don't have to. You can have very good surfing habits and keep your computer up to date, and a flash drive with some files on it for work comes to your computer, and bang, you're infected. So they come from everywhere too. It's it's one of those things. It's just part of the new reality.
So are you guys using the pro version of the Fix Me Stick in your tech room there to fix up infected computers?
Not right now. We're actually selling it. When you bring a computer in, one of the choices that you have is to buy a fix-me stick. It's usually what we would recommend for the more serious infections.
Because it's going to cost less than an hour of your time working on it anyways.
Exactly, yeah. And because it's very it's very easy to use, you don't have to pay for a whole hour of labor all the time. So it's a good choice when you're, even if you want us to do the work, it's a good idea to ask for a fix-me stick and see if that's right for you.
Good stuff. Fix-me stick. It's $60, available at all London Drugs. This is a Windows-only solution?
Yes, right now it is only Windows only.
Yeah, those viruses still haven't really hit the Mac environment yet. We keep hearing that there's more viruses on the Mac, but I haven't seen them yet.
Well, the ones that do seem to get patched fairly well, so.
And now, this doesn't work, though, for spyware and other things, though. This is really for traditional viruses, correct?
Well, it will find any even minor annoyances, like cookie trackers or anything. Mm-hmm. But it is usually you would want to invest in one after a serious infection. Your regular antivirus software that's standing guard and keeping things clean would be your better choice to prevent something from happening in the first place.
So this does not replace standard antivirus software. This is because I guess occasionally stuff slips by.
Right. Yeah. It's a perfect reactionary thing.
Okay, Fix-Me Stick, available at your local London Drugs, $60. Once you've got it, then you can go around and you can clean up to 3 computers with that. Julian, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Steve.
So the question is, Art, after listening to Sam Fiorella talking about influence marketing, are you gonna pull out a clout?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, because even if it's a shallow number, it means nothing. It still means something to you, and you want to beat other people.
As long as I feel I can still make it in the top, like, 25% of my peer group, I'm cool with that.
It's all about where you are in relation to the others. Hey, I should have mentioned this off the top of the show. Last night in Vancouver was kind of a sad night. It was the final night of the Apple Users Group, and I dropped by to that event. So they've been around for over 20 years.
Really?
It's called a MUG. It's a Macintosh User Group, but they were Apple's BC. They've been around forever. And over the years, I must have spoken to them a dozen times. I used to go and do their big Christmas meeting, and I'd go in and talk to them about they were passionate Apple folk.
That must have been a really exciting Christmas party.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were.
Okay. I'm just...
You know, fighting words, Art. Fighting words.
I don't know these people.
I got my jaw stuck out. People can't see me on radio, but right now I have my jaw stuck out, and I'm ready to... It's go time, Art.
Anyone who joins an Apple group, I'm assuming they don't hit the sauce as hard as somebody...
How do you know?
I don't know, but I'm assuming.
Have you ever gone?
No.
You really should not be speaking out of turn this way. Besides, it's poor taste to speak ill of those that have gone by.
Perhaps maybe it's not ill. It's good
but
for them.
But coming from you, you had a smirk.
That's true.
Was a smirk.
That's true.
It's true. Anyways, they've been around forever. They've done great work. They've taught so many people about technology and how it all works and how it fits in their lives. And they were a good social group. I always enjoyed visiting them. Good group of guys and women.
They'll be missed.
The organization will be missed. The individuals within it, fortunately, continue on. And that is all the time that we have for this week's show. A reminder, anybody in Victoria, tomorrow, I'm there. I'm heading straight from here to the ferry. Protectivity tomorrow in Victoria. We're so excited. It's going to be a great workshop. And we will be back here for more of Dotto Tech next week. Same bat channel, same bat time, same bat guys.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.